now that heart is beating fast, and that's the rhythm I can dance to. I'm mighty glad I've got a chance to that one big heart that's beating fast. Tomorrow morning, let it rain. Tomorrow morning, let it pour. Tonight, we're in the groove together. Ain't gonna worry about stormy weather. Gonna kick old trouble out the door. Beat out old trouble and drum. Beat out old trouble and drum. Beat out old trouble and drum. And kick old trouble out the door. Beat me that rhythm on the drum. Drum, beat me that rhythm on the drum, and kick old trouble out the door, kick him 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 out the door.
Welcome to Radical Australian Community Radio 3CR. Streaming live on 3cr.org.au. This program is podcast, in case you're interested. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au, Radical Australia. Now, Henrietta, who refuses to speak, has told me that we have royalty amongst us. And I'm not even talking about Harry and Meghan. You said he was something of a generation. I can't believe it that this unshaven man, Carl Panuzzo, whatever you call him, is such a household name. So she won't speak to me, Carl.
I think I'm about as much of a household name as Margaret Rodenight, who you were just saying nobody remembers. But, of course, everybody remembers. In fact, I think it's fitting that Margaret opened the show because I kind of feel a little bit like one of those people, which only I think Australia can have as far as I can figure
out,
where I'm probably the most well-known, not famous person in the world, or the most famous. Who is that guy?
Who is that guy?
No
we've seen him before.
No one actually knows who he is. He's been around forever. Yeah, look, and therefore,
look, yeah, you know, mate. I'll tell you why. It's the way you dress. You're not flamboyant.
Well, I did take my dress sense after Margaret Rodenight as well. She is quite the inspiration. Yeah,
you're not flamboyant. You've got a nice trimmed beard. You've got horn-rimmed glasses. He even drinks water on the set because he's looking after his health.
It's warm water.
Ah, did you just say a word? We caught her.
That's right. She wasn't on the microphone.
No.
You're welcome anytime.
Look, she said to me, I need to keep my job. And she's ashamed of being the producer. Now, Carl, what are you doing here?
What I'm doing here, I was just listening to your show one day, as I do, and SMS'd in, and you just harangued me to come on to the show.
No, you threatened, that's right. I threatened you, I didn't harangue you, there's a difference between haranguing and threatening.
That's another way to say, like Frank Zappa used to say, another great Italian.
Yeah, why have you got a scarf?
I have a very rare condition that's known in Chinese medicine as a wind hole. In the back of my neck.
So you've got a trachea.
No.
Like the rest of us.
That's right. It's like having eyes in the back of your head. I've got a mouth in the back of my neck.
Have you? That explains your musical career, I think, a mouth at the back of your neck.
So no matter how hot it is, I strangely need to have a scarf on. And I don't actually tell anyone that. So you've asked me a question and I've answered it.
Yeah. I won't ask about the little singlet poking out of your black shirt. But that's a different story. We're not here to look at you. Sartorial elegance, are we?
Fantastic radio.
Isn't it funny? Look, occasionally I see a music clip and all I see is semi-naked women singing. Is it the same for blokes? You know, professional musicians, do you have to go in shorts and a T-shirt or something?
I'm now at the age where I actually, the reason my band got nominated for an ARIA last year, which is a big deal in Australia, and I don't care about these things.
I don't care about music. What's your band's name?
Checkerboard Lounge.
Checkerboard Lounge.
It's one of the bands. I used to be in 30 bands in the 90s.
30?
Yeah, and they never crossed paths.
How did you remember their names?
Oh, it's fun. It's just music's so fun. You can do everything with it. But anyway, The only reason we didn't win is because we were the obligatory blues content for the blues category, after which there were other... Well, there was kind of... The woman who won, she is great, and she has been in the blues field, but sort of got more... Everything got more pop. So it's all that monoculture thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was going to release an album called More Belly Button.
More Belly...
After that, with the picture of one of our belly buttons.
I think you should
on
do
the front
it.
Cover. And I
because
think that would
every time you see some, well, infamous singer up there with a microphone, they're scantily dressed. Is this soft porn? Is this what music has come to these days?
Yeah, basically. We've got it. Well, once video took over, you know, video killed the radio star type thing.
Yeah.
Then they had to find ways to make it more interesting. Now, the cheaper way, in the same way as they do now with reality TV, is just to get real people and tell them what to do, opposed to getting, you know, Godley and Cream to make your film clip like Peter Gabriel might have with all this great animation and fantastic effects. It's cost thousands and thousands of dollars. Mm. You just get someone to spawn about and they're going to get people thinking they're sexy. Yep. And, you know, we all like to be attractive in our own way. And... somehow, music is secondary. It's a vehicle.
It's a vehicle.
Okay? It's a vehicle either for fame or for someone making money off you.
Now, Carl.
That's the industry.
Yeah, but
music
Carl,
itself is the beautiful, glorious thing.
Yeah, but
Carl, confused the
Carl,
two.
Carl, what are you in, why are you in the business? You're neither sexy and you don't make money. What's going on, mate?
Exactly. So I must be in it for the music.
For the music.
Look, there are still people out there. There are lots of people. Melbourne's very, very wonderful as a music culture. It's fantastic because there are a lot of real musicians in there.
Real? Know? What's a real musician?
One who's playing music, is in it for the music, understands that they aren't going to struggle to make a buck because music, unlike everything else, hasn't suffered inflation as far as it's you know, hourly rate or anything goes.
No,
you can't really talk about hourly rate because
stagflation, I think, in the music is
basically. Yeah. And yes, the older you get, the uglier you get, naturally. But you
hang on.
You also get
talk for
better.
Yourself.
Sorry,
yourself.
Joe. You're right. Forgive me. This is the reason you are on radio. You'd break television, wouldn't you? I understand this, but no. You just get better at what you do. You can't not get better at anything that you develop. And so you get to this place where you think, hang on, I'm just starting to hit my stride. And then 5 years later, you'll go, hang on, I'm just starting to hit my stride. And the reality is the better you get is according to the imagination that pulls you along from being better than your actual capacity.
Yeah.
And once you reach that level of imagination, your imagination's now moved on to other advancement, which pulls you forward. So it's this wonderful and very beautiful holy grail that is nothing that you need to wait to the end about because it's, you know, the
journey
man
are you, Carl?
And everything.
How old are you?
But it really is.
How old are you?
56.
Well, I've got some bad news for you, Carl.
What's that?
You may have imagination, but once you reach my age, you're basically treading water. That's what happens.
Only if you're not continually learning something. And I'll tell you, music, you don't stop learning. So
what do you mean?
I'm not going to get dementia. I don't care about you.
You're a blues singer. You just do three chords, don't you?
Ah, in blues, correct. But if you do it with a soul intention and some crazy jazz out there weirdness, then it gets interesting.
So what did the band, you and the band get the ARIA for? Nominated. What was it? An album? A song?
It was an album. Yeah.
What was the album called?
Sun Sessions. Yeah. We went over in 2020, just before the car hit the fan.
Mm.
There was the International Blues Challenge, and we won the Victorian heat and got sent over to represent, and we made it into the semi-finals. It was all very exciting and blah blah. It was a festival. It wasn't competitions. It's so not music. Mm. You know, just really nothing to do with it. So you end up just meeting nice people. Anyway,
and did you get free food and accommodation? That's what I'm interested in.
No, let's not talk about the accommodation. We almost lost our bass player over the accommodation.
What do you mean? He had to double bunk, did he?
No, he got the double bed in the room with the door.
Right.
I was there on the floor out in the... Anyway, let's not talk about it. No, the point is, when we were there... The other two of the fellas went and did the Sun Studio Museum, right? The tour. It was cool. And at the end of it, Tim sits down at Jerry Lee Lewis's old piano there with the cigar burn and the bottom note and everything. It's really cool. Starts playing something, pricks up the ears of the tour guide, says, you know, this is still a recording, functioning recording studio.
Yeah.
We've got 5 hours on a Monday night. You want it?
Oh,
he came back and said, well, we're recording at some. And it was fun. We didn't know what to do. We went in there. It was 5 hours. Thought, we'll just do a few tunes. And we got our whole album. It was great. And people really liked it. And it was the first proper thing that we did after being an underground institution in Melbourne where we used to have 7-year residencies every Sunday, and we had residencies all over the place in the 90s. And people came, and it was
three
great.
People turned up, or a bit
no,
more.
No, really, really, lots. We had gigs. Like 8 gigs a week. It was fantastic. Playing live. I was sweating all the time. I was detoxing the entire time. I was the healthiest, strongest person I'd ever been. It was incredible.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, exactly. But really, it was fun.
Now, can I ask? Look. Anyway. We can go on with your bloody music career.
You don't need to.
What I want to ask you is, when did this disease start? How old were you when you got you got the bug?
Apparently, I could operate a turntable before I could crawl.
You're kidding.
No. Apparently that was the thing. I really wanted this thing because that made a good thing happen.
Were you born here in Melbourne or?
Yes.
So were your parents immigrants?
They were born here as well, but their parents were immigrants.
Yeah. So they knew what a turntable was.
My
family didn't know what a turntable was.
Oh, no. They had to know what turntable was. I broke the first three, of course, because the baby is not really that equipped to be sensitive.
What type of work were your parents doing to afford three turntables?
Dad had his own. He was Italian. He had a fruiterer business, didn't he? Of course.
Yeah, that's all
it's
right,
either a fruiterer or a real estate agent. Now he didn't go into real estate.
No Italian worth their salt goes into real estate.
Why not? My dad had gotten to real estate, I'd live somewhere by now.
No, that's the part of the family we never talk about. Those that go into real estate because they try to sell you shit.
Exactly.
So did you take up an instrument at any stage?
There was a piano in the house, and we all played.
Well, what do you mean all?
I have three sisters.
All right. Well, you're the oldest.
No, I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest. So they let you play at the edge of the piano, did they?
Basically. Yeah. So it was basically just, you know, we had a lovely stereo in the living room that I was finally allowed to use once I could prove that I didn't break one. Mm-hmm. And there was everything, and it was all free.
What do you mean it was all free? What's going on?
It's the best entertainment.
Well, where's the teacher?
Do you know how much parents spend on Lego these days?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Can I tell you a ridiculous story that happened to me 33 years ago about Lego? I know how much you spend about Lego. I think my son then was about 3 or 4, right? And I had to go to a conference in Oslo, as you do, you know?
Oh, I love Oslo.
Four-day return trip to Melbourne. Hospital was paying for it. So I get to Oslo, do my paper, and then I had organised a stopover in Copenhagen to go to the Lego factory, as you do when you go to Denmark. So I bought this beautiful box of Lego, put it on my lap, dragged it home, right? Gave it to the boy, obviously, who destroyed it. But that same weekend we went to Myers, same box, half price that I paid in Copenhagen.
But you got the original. It's like getting a Japanese
It was the same shit that was exported. It's amazing. You go there, you pay double. So what about Lego? Did you have Lego?
I had a little Lego, more just kind of leftovers from other people. I was the hand-me-down guy because you're the youngest. Right, it's cool. Right, it's all good. Cool. It's fine.
Yeah, but did you get into an instrument apart from the... Is the piano an instrument?
Piano? Excuse me? Piano is the instrument. I love it. It's so good. We couldn't fit one in here and we didn't decide to go into Studio 3 where there is a piano. But I brought a guitar in.
Did you? What for?
Oh, I'm going to sing a couple of songs.
Really?
Whether you like it or not. That's right.
Yeah. Look, I can... You think I can tolerate her, Henrietta? She's not. And she's your biggest fan, you know. When she heard that you were coming in, you should have seen the smile on Henrietta's face. She said you were one in a generation.
Oh, that's nice. I don't know.
She's a bit.
You want to get out a bit more, Henrietta. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No. She was really excited that you were here. I didn't realise that you're a musician. I just brought you in because you're Italian.
Barely, unfortunately. You know, my parents.
What?
We grew up saying my last name was Panazzo.
Panatta.
Her sister's a no Panazzo, just a Z, like that.
Anglicised.
I was 25 and I was giving my details to a bank or something over the phone. I was at a friend's house and I got off the phone and he said, "What did you say your name was?" And I said, "Panazzo."
Yeah,
and
he went to all of us.
How do you pronounce P-I-Z-Z-A? And I said pizza. And he said, "Right, sir, that's the first lesson. Right. All right, who are you? You know." So he had to learn.
Well, he had to learn me how to say my name.
Could you imagine on my birth certificate says Giuseppe Toscano? Could you imagine what primary school, what hell it was?
Hey, look.
I soon became Joseph. So what's your real name? I know it's not Carl.
No, it was supposed to be Carmelo, which
Carmelo!
Is, all right. But because of the old thing, the firstborn male gets called after the grandfather.
That's
who's
right.
My father's father was called Carmelo. Now, my dad's sister was pregnant at the same time as my mum, and she was premature, so she had a boy. He got called Carmelo. They didn't have another name picked out. Oh, fuck it. Let's just call him Carl.
Your kid. Swearing. Yeah. They gave you a German name.
No, it's Italian.
It's not Italian.
Carlo.
Oh, Carlo. That's you said Carl.
They did say Carl because they wanted to be Australian.
They wanted to be Australian.
They want to be Australian.
So you're actually Carl Panazzo or something.
That's my name, Carl Panazzo. Pannuzzo. If you say it properly, it's Pannuzzo.
That's right, Pannuzzo.
If you say Pannuzzo, it's only one N, which is a whole
Pannuzzo. What does it mean? Every Italian
Little bread roll.
Little bread roll. Yeah, it is. Pannuzzo. It is. Little bread roll. I've got a friend who...
Or actually, there's another dialect that says that it actually means big sandwich. So it's either little or it's big. Which is pretty much my life.
But a lot of Italian names are like that. I've got an acquaintance, he's called... I won't give his full name in case we embarrass him. But it's actually, in English, it means the Grateful Taylor.
Oh, nice.
Very nice. So how old were you when you did your first public performance?
I don't know, probably somewhere in high school.
High school.
I didn't really learn music. I tried when I was four, but between, I think, probably an undiagnosed ADHD and my ear was stronger than my eye. Once I played a song once, I just knew how it went now. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really need to keep reading music. It wasn't very easy for me. I tried again when I was 11 and we had to learn Pomp and Circumstances, a song. I thought, what, that? I'm not learning. This is awful. It's the worst song in the world. And I just gave up and went back to learning by ear, just teaching myself, listening to stuff. Or, you know, at the end of a TV show, I'd try and go, you know, Hill Street Blues. I'd go to the piano and try and figure out what I'd just heard on that credit roll, you know.
So you got that type of brain.
Yeah. And it's fine. It was easy. But then I did learn drums when I was 14, and that was fun.
What do you mean? How do you learn drums? I thought you just hit the things, don't
exactly.
You?
You'd think so. it's drums are like learning German. It starts hard. It gets easier and then gets hard again.
Right. How do you know? Do you speak German too?
Ein bisschen.
Really?
I spent a lot of time in Europe in
what
my
for?
30s. I made a nice friend over there and he got me gigs. And,
you got
and
your
I
gigs.
I had an audience who appreciated
and they actually
unorthodoxy.
They paid you.
They paid me. They actually they thought that I was interesting as I was. I didn't have to try to be anything and prove myself under the
weight. The name Carl, you couldn't go wrong in Germany, could you?
They understood that it was with a C, not a K.
With a C. Carlo. Carlo.
I was an exception.
You're exotic.
It was exotic, and that was enough, probably. And I was just from Australia, which is even
more
exotic to them.
Did you have little kangaroos you gave away? Little
I came
kangaroo
bouncing
pins?
On stage on a kind of fake blow-up inflatable No, I didn't.
You know what happened to that chap, Jack the leg, the middle leg, the kangaroo man. You know what happened to him?
Let's not talk about it, all right?
Yeah. You know, I don't want to.
It's unfortunate. Yeah. Look, hopefully we're getting to the end of that generation, isn't it? Weird.
Weird.
Yeah.
Now, the producer is suggesting that you pick up your guitar.
Got a good producer here.
Well, all Carl's...
The reality is that we can talk till the cows come home.
Yeah, but what I
really... I don't need to talk.
Yeah, what I really loved about you then... You didn't stop talking. You put your hand down, picked up the guitar, put it in your hand, put your fingers in the appropriate spot and didn't miss a beat. That is impressive. You're a professional, Carl. Carlo. You're a professional, Carlo.
I've talking before, yes. what do you want to hear?
Whatever you like.
Oh, whatever you like. See, I've got a list of things that I thought might be fun to play on air.
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going to go first? All right, I'm going to go a song called Blind Leading the Blind, which I wrote after somebody decided to go to was it Hawaii or Tahiti? I can't remember when we actually needed some leadership in the country.
Right. I think it was Hawaii. I wouldn't expect him to go to French territory.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he doesn't hold the hose, you know that.
That's very funny. All right. Probably helps if you tune said guitar.
Oh, you can tune it on air. This is Radical Australia. Nobody cares. You know.
Hopefully you don't care.
We do care.
Yeah, that's
right. We expect you to be professional. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Well, it's blind leading the blind, and the sick leading the sick, and the meagre leading the poor. And what are they leading for? It's the slow leading the show, and the thick leading the thick. But they're thin on the ground, there's nobody else around. Does anybody know how to train this dog of war? Does anybody know why? What we're still fighting for? It's the lame leading the lame, and the broken leading the broke, and it's the crippled leading the race. The whole place is up in smoke. Hey, ain't no joke in there. Yet there's jokers making all the rules. Financiers with their only focus is treating us all like fools. Let the animals out of the zoo. They know better what to do. Let the monkeys run the show. We might have a chance to grow. Let the lions tell the news. An auto teach us to use whatever nature yet remains. Can we tap the dolphin's brains? Or somebody's gotta be bringing down this crazy circus tent. It's a babushka doll of assholes necessitating this lament. Well, stop the press.
I didn't realise how hard work singing is. I was just looking at your neck.
I was looking at my neck.
No, I was looking at the muscles. I was looking at the, you know, the larynx and the muscles, and it's really hard work.
It's not particularly hard work. It's what's hard work is trying to
Well, I'm looking at you now. Your muscles aren't bulging.
But no, the point is you're expressing something, but you've got to do it within limits.
Right.
If I had a microphone and a big band around me, I'd be yelling louder than either of you could handle in this small room.
Right.
You see, so you've got to allow your expression to come forward so it sounds like the song, but try and hold it in. That's work.
Yeah, but how do you protect your vocal cords? I mean,
well, warm water's nice.
Warm water. Yeah.
Some people extol the virtues of pineapple juice.
Pineapple juice.
Not much sugar.
Yeah. No. But drink. I can talk over
that's, you. That's physical. You can, but that's physical. But essentially, you just treat the person well. If you feel good, probably the result will be that your voice will help.
All right. So obviously, you're suggesting that everybody with vocal nodules who sings doesn't look after themselves.
Oh. There's lots of ways in which we don't look after ourselves, not helped by, you know, a culture that we're conditioned into. You know, we've got to do a lot of sort of decide. You've got to be decisive about what you're choosing and recognise what affects you.
So how do you go about writing something, writing a song?
I usually wait. I don't like to sit down and go, I'm going to write a song. For example, I've written a lot of songs for the radiothons and subscriber drives and things like that here because I think it's fun. So, you know, every maybe around this time I get the call from Juliet, have you got another song up here? And it's like, oh, maybe, what's the theme? And usually I just have to wait and probably sometime in a deeper state, like just when I'm falling asleep or just woken up and there's not enough other crap filling in my mind yet, I'll get an idea either for a phrase. And if I like the sound of the phrase, if it's got a good rhythm, if it comes with a melody, that's an even bonus because then you can just go to the guitar or the piano or something and find what chords might fit under that melody. And sometimes then you get carried away in playing and go, oh, that's nice, and get somewhere else. That becomes the body, the shape of then what you have to go, all right, how do I fill in the gaps of the lyric then? And how
so, do you go to a piano or can you use any instrument?
I can use anything. I can't. Absolutely use everything, anything, but whatever's at hand. If I sometimes I wake up and, I need a ukulele for this, or I need a harp, I'm going to go and get something different, you know.
You make a record in case you forget?
Yeah. I usually get my phone out. There's a lot of...
gets his phone out, Henrietta. He's a postmodern punk.
Just wait. I'll tell you the reason. It's why? Because so much happens in my sleep that I'm usually actually asleep when I'm doing it. So I've trained myself to take my phone to the loo for a wee and go... There's a lot of voice memos of me going... I'm actually asleep.
You mean you've got company in the loo?
Yeah.
Carl.
Have you ever dropped your phone in the loo?
No,
because everyone has to do that once.
Look.
Get the rice
Carl,
out.
Anyway, Carl, yeah. I must be about, 15 years, a bit older than that than you, and we don't take our phone to the loo. There is it's a private matter between us and the toilet. Well, why do you take your phone to the loo?
To record these things on a little app?
That have you ever heard a piece of paper?
That's what do you know how many times I've moved house as a
renter? No.
And how many big fat diaries of writing I've had to take with me in boxes that are heavy, and I don't know which one they're in. The only good thing that I've found, or the best thing I've found about technology, is that you can search for shit. Yeah. If you asked me about a song that I written in the 90s, I don't know where those lyrics are, and I don't remember most of them. Mm. I remember one of them.
Which one's that?
Stop Jabberluka Mine.
You want to do that?
It is the 40th anniversary.
Let's do it. Okay. I mean, how's that for a segue?
This was fun to do because at the time it was really about community and, you know, as you talk about, the people power factor, right? So I got everyone that I knew to stuff themselves into the back room of a pub that wasn't getting used in the daytime, got a recording engineer and got them and taught them on the spot the parts for the choir, and they did the backing of the choir. And then I went back to the studio with people like Kylie Alderson, Deb Morrow and a few other great stars and chucked them in a la We Are The World and got this song going and pressed it on a CD, and it got played on radio and people liked it, and some people sang it at rallies and things. It was fun, okay. It's getting harder to stay proud to be Australian, 'cause we are fools fighting the power, we are failing. Oh, what are we doing? Following the footsteps of greed, long-lasting resources that for now we don't need. Mr. Money's a mastermind, don't play the game. We've forgotten the love makes us all the same. So even if we win, we leave our lives behind. But we can save ourselves if we stop Jabberluka Mine. 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 It's a majority vote, and there aren't many strangers who don't understand. We're all aware of the dangers, toxic waste, repercussion of our haste. Death for profit, through many lives erased. A destructive culture, a destruction of the land, without which you have nothing on which to stand. No, it's not just a small part, but the effects resound in every part of nature and in the world around. You take for granted your fortune and uphold your pride without realizing your power corrupted. At some point you gotta I'm now dizzy. I don't think I can remember the third verse.
That's all right. Relax. That's enough. But what I found extraordinary is, how long ago would you have sung that song?
Nearly 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact is that we didn't prepare this.
No.
I never prepare anything because I'm a lazy broadcaster, right?
No, it's because you're a good improviser and it keeps you in the moment. And that's the great thing about music too. You should take up music, Joe. It's never too late.
Next you'll ask me to panel operate.
That's harder than music, I'll tell you.
Is it? Oh, look, I've been here 49 years. I'm not pressing any buttons till I die. I've made that decision. Now, what I was going to ask you, Carl, when did you first enter this prestigious institution, 3CR?
1994 or 5, maybe. Uh-huh. No, it was even earlier than that. It was 3 or 4. I was a guest on a show called Local and Live.
Yes, yes.
By Larissa.
Yep.
And she said, "You talk pretty good on radio. Do you want to come and be part of the show?"
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said, "Yes, thank you." And it presented local and live music, obviously, as I like to also extol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. And then show morphed and other things happened, and then I got another weird show with a comedian.
Excuse me.
What?
You have worked with a comedian?
Worked with a comedian.
I can't believe that. I mean, what's the point?
She was
of
a musician as well.
Oh, so, that's all right. Yeah, that's a saving grace.
Yeah.
How can you work for a comedian? That just tears strips off you.
Oh, yeah, you don't mind that. Hey, look, it's so good. She was actually my partner at the time.
Oh, at the time. All right, we won't go into that.
But no, here's the funny thing, is because you don't mind. People worry about going out with songwriters because they're going to write a heartbreak song about them when you split up. But the funnier thing is when it's comedy, right? She worked me into her script. She said, "Oh, my God, I've got this new boyfriend. It's fantastic. He can just do anything. I mean, we just go hard rubbish collecting and he can just make a modular lounge suite out of just all pieces of shit." Yeah. The last boyfriend I had, he was completely useless. I mean, he was a musician,
right?
Which gets a laugh, right? He said, "You know, if the door handle broke, he'd just write a protest song about it."
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
So, yeah,
I got it written
into a... No, it's still funny.
It's still funny.
To me. All right. Anyway, but yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. You know. So has anybody approached you about the 50th anniversary celebrations here at 3CR?
No, not as yet.
You're kidding.
No, I'm going to be there.
No, I'm inviting you. Stuff them. Management should have contacted you months ago. Haven't you been contacted?
No, maybe they're just getting around to everything. There's lots of
slack.
A big deal. Like
no,
that.
They're slack. They're
no,
slack.
No, they're not
I
slack.
I mean, you've been here since the 90s. I want you, I'm going to give you a job.
To learn the third verse of Jabberwocky.
No. Everybody gets homework, all right? Whether it's Talk Back with Attitude, Radical Australia, you get homework. I want you to do a 50th anniversary 3CR song.
Okay.
I'm being serious.
I'm because, accepting your seriousness.
I mean, this institution has been here for 50 years.
Yep.
And if it wasn't for the Whitlam-led Labor government, there would be no community radio stations.
Right.
There would have been no licence.
That was a good window, wasn't it?
Yeah. Just before they got booted out.
Yeah.
They gave out about 50 licences. And obviously thousands of people have come in through the doors at 3CR.
Yeah.
Most of them have been vomited out, but a few of us have remained. So I reckon you would be perfect. 30-year association with this station. 30 years. All they want you is for the money, for the radiophone. To make money for them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
no,
that's...
I'm happy
that's,
to do that.
No, they're exploiting your labour.
Yeah, I'm good with that. We're community.
I'm just saying, enjoy the glory. Be there. I mean, I don't want you
Yeah, but the thing is, I love writing songs, and I'm so happy to throw down any gauntlet you like. I won't promise it's going to be good.
It doesn't have to be good.
But the point is,
it has
is,
to be original.
Yeah, it'll be original. No problem about that.
Yeah.
But I don't need glory. Glory. It's like, have you not seen Karate Kid? It's an awful American film, but it's got this great Japanese character who comes in with these little pearl of lines every now and then. You know, it just transcends all of American culture.
I'm not inviting you for the glory, mate.
Yeah.
I'm inviting you to fill in the boredom. factor at the 50th anniversary.
You think it's going to be boring?
Have you seen?
Joe thinks the 50th is going to be boring.
Have you seen the advertising?
This is now your call to come to the 50th and make it less boring.
Yeah. Have you seen the advertising they're doing here at 3CR? I had to make my own poster. It was so boring. I told them all, we need a bit of joy, happiness. This is a great moment. In Melbourne history, anyway.
Things take time to work up to.
Do they?
Yeah.
The 4th of July is, 10 weeks away? That's not far.
Yeah, but it'll happen.
Are you going to be here or are you going to be on tour?
No,
come on.
I'm going to be here.
Definitely?
I'm definitely.
Did you hear that, Henrietta? He's going to be here.
Yeah, it's in my diary. I have a diary these days.
Yeah, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday.
Correct.
And I learnt something.
What?
Collingwood Town Hall is in Abbotsford. It's not in Collingwood.
I know.
Obviously, you know you're a musician.
Well, I played at Collingwood Town Hall and I used to live around the corner and my address was in Abbotsford, so yeah.
What's the acoustics like?
It depends on which room you're in, but generally pretty amazing. But, it depends on what you're going to put in there. Do you remember they used to have the Friends of the Earth balls there?
Yeah.
They were fantastic. And they'd have whole bands in there. And if enough people soak up the sound, it's great.
Well, I went there for the 100th anniversary, and I still got a glass somewhere, for the 100th anniversary celebrations of the Collingwood Town Hall in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I still got a glass. I should bring that
you
to
should,
the 50th,
you should.
50th anniversary. Somebody will steal it anyway.
Actually, that's not a bad thing, to ask people for some memorabilia, like an old
sticker.
Oh,
they're doing that. They're doing everything.
Oh, great.
But they forgot about asking you to do a song.
No.
Look, my apologies, Carl.
I apologise for the management committee. There's probably three people out there listening just going, well, it was on our list of things to do. Thanks very much, Joe. You don't actually,
I apologise profusely on behalf of the station. Not that I've got any role in terms of management, but I apologise on their behalf. I can't believe it. Can you believe that, Henrietta?
I'm not the only musician at the station. We have
musicians. There are other musicians, and I've interviewed some of them, and I wouldn't get them to write a song. No way, because they're too serious.
Too serious.
I mean, you'll be able to take the Mickey out of people.
Well, do you remember I took the Mickey out of you once?
You're kidding.
Can I play that song? Do you remember it?
No, it was
in the 90s.
In the 90s?
In the 90s.
Oh, my God.
All right, look out.
Obviously, you recorded it and you got an aria for it, did you?
That one I didn't get an aria for, Joe. You're just not quite aria material. A bit more belly button, please.
Yeah. Well, we could have your hairy. As you've got an Italian background, I've got an Italian Sicilian background. I don't use the word Italian.
Me too, Sicilian.
Well, you're not Italian then.
Paesano.
You're Sicilian. What part? Colla Provincia.
Ragusa. I don't.
Oh, Ragusa. See, they're Ragusa.
Yeah.
Catania.
Catania. Everyone's from Catania.
I am from Catania.
Yeah. Actually, originally born there?
No, I was born in Brisbane, but my parents are from Provincia Catania.
Why didn't you stay in Brisbane? Brisbane's got good weather. It's all crap.
Life is better than weather. In 1976, the Bjelke-Petersen government banned me after I got my internship. I was banned from any public hospital jobs in 76.
Really?
And I came here as a refugee. We had a T-shirt, a little banana, a Queensland refugee. Yeah. But that's another story.
What's one harmless chup-a-chup? Is that what it said on the T-shirt?
I mean, we were just
in
harmless.
The open surgery. Yeah, sorry, I shouldn't.
So this is a song.
Okay. A song.
Henrietta, I'm going to dread this. Have you got some earmuffs? I'll put my earmuffs on.
It's in a minor key because we're serious. He came as unsuspecting as a prophet to the earth. And Italy had no idea just what had given birth. He says a pickle to the cactus is the herald of his worth. And he was to make a difference to the world. He raised himself from a soil of questions and a will to understand. To me.
take that as an honour, the fact that you spent at least 4 minutes of your life composing that song. It's that is, yeah, I do remember. I was at a Christmas party and you actually, yes.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes.
I thought you might remember.
I remember now.
It's funny, isn't it, the things that we don't need to store. Do you know about this? This new theory of looking into dementia and stuff and Alzheimer's and things, that the actual brain has a natural system of remembering and forgetting, which is usually, you know, we sort of demonize the idea of forgetting things. You know, lost your keys.
It's important.
You know, but forgetting and remembering so that we don't need to, so we can focus our brains on things that we actually need to remember in the immediate moment.
That's right.
And other things can just be as back brain as, and they just arrive back to you. Now it's relevant again.
It's a little bit like a smell. You smell something and you haven't smelled it for 50 years and it brings a flood of memories to you.
Exactly.
I mean, the brain's there all the time.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's a wonderful organ. And obviously, looking at your size and my size, you're looking after your brain and I'm not.
Now, can I make talking about my brain and not my organ. Yeah, I mean, I thought that was weird. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, look, this chariot of fire garbage needs to be changed. you know, to what? You know?
What?
To walking frame.
We'll then the music will go even more slow motion. Joey's walking frame. Yeah, that'd be good.
That was 30 years ago, mate. Things change, as you know.
Yes, that's right.
All right. Mm. What are your plans for the future, apart from staying alive?
Staying alive is a good one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Plans for the future. I try to just figure out how to juggle work-life balance.
Right.
You know, I am one of those believers in the 2.5 to 3 day week, working week for everyone. I do think it would just make the most sense and everyone gets a bit of time to be less stressed and less arsehole-y to each other on the roads. I think I want to record more music. I like writing songs. I do. I would spend my time happily writing songs, but there's not much call for it because now that we have AI and two other main songwriters, one in Europe and one in America, monopolizing the entire bigger industry from which any money can be made, because, of course, the rich get richer version of things means that if it's already big on Spotify, it will get bigger and everything else will, by contrast, remain insignificant. And Spotify itself, of course, means that everything is free. So it's actually very hard to make records because you can't necessarily guarantee selling them and getting the money back that you put into having made it, which the studio engineers also shouldn't do their job for free, and that's time, and it really is a thing. But
so is that why touring has become more and more important for musicians?
Yes, yes. One thing AI can't do yet is play live, and one thing AI also can't do is experience live in the way that humans need to feel moving vibration through the air via the various instruments that are bringing the certain frequencies across. We get moved in some way. We want to dance or we have a cry or we have a reminisce or whatever it might be. That, I think, is such an important quality of life that I think whether I could choose a better career choice path. I'm probably a bit old for that now.
No, you're too old for it. Forget it. Stop dreaming.
Yeah, no, I'm not dreaming. You're dreaming. I want to keep playing.
I want to keep playing until
I'm happy if I fall over on stage at the age of 20, you know.
86.
2086, that's right.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's like the old mafia don in Sicily, you'd understand that. Killed a lot of people in his time. He was 92. He was in the tomato patch at the back of the garden and fell off his chair and died. You want to do the same thing with music?
Exactly.
Yeah.
After 92, please. Yeah. I'm going for 111. What do you reckon? Couple chances?
Look, I give you my blessing.
Thank you.
I give you my blessing. If the Washington buffoon, you know, the Messiah, whose the light shines out of his ass, right, that Messiah can live to 80, you can live to 112.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You can.
Yeah.
I know you can live to 112.
And even without trying.
Even with cryogenics, if we have to cut off your head, we can't afford the whole body. We'll just cut off your head and put it in a box.
What, morph me into a
No, we'll just leave you there until, you know, science has yeah. caught up and we attach a new body to your head.
That's not a bad idea, actually. Yeah, I'm up for that. Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't meet any musicians until I was 14. I thought it was my job.
You're lucky. You never
I thought, gee, there's a lot of songs on the radio. I better get cracking. I seriously was that naive. Yeah. And I used to, and I remember seeing a 60 Minutes or something like that on telly about someone getting some organ transplant. And I thought, imagine if you could actually get some more arms, you know, patched on.
Can be done.
And, you know, get the nervous system to learn how to... AI,
we actually have robotics. We can attach extra arms if you need it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Are the arms going to something that is a life's experience worth of inspiration to be able to feed?
These arms, if natural arms, these are accessories. So you can play the guitar, the double bass, and the drums simultaneously.
Well, see, that was my dream as a kid. Really? You're telling me this is possible now?
It's possible now.
All right, I'm going into crowdfunding.
Right. You don't need crowdfunding.
It's got to be expensive.
No, there's just some experimental work at it if you'd like to volunteer. Sure. If you'd like to volunteer.
I'll wait until after the first experiment's been proven.
Oh, come on. I'm giving you a freebie here, mate. I could organise some people to help you out. No?
Okay. Are you that or a cloning machine? I did want a band with myself because I figured, how am I going to play all these instruments?
Well, remember those old-fashioned, you know, they used to play, 10 instruments?
Yeah.
One-man band.
It's not thorough. You can't get... You need the fullness of a drum kit, the fullness of a bass rig, and the fullness of the piano. You can't just... It's cool, ukulele, and strap a bit of string to... You know, have you seen Uptown Brown? He's a genius, actually. He's so good.
Yeah.
But not many people can do it. Right. It's hard.
Now, are you in a position to sing your ARIA-nominated song, or do you need a band behind you?
Look, I could think about one of those things.
I don't want to put you in the spot.
No, that's fine. I'll sing you a song that from that band,
right?
But that's not from that album, but because I wrote it recently about the fact that, well, not about the fact that we didn't win an ARIA at all. No. But it harks to that idea because I was thinking about, you know, as you get older and uglier and, you know, less desirable by the industry who want to sell money, you know, make money, I thought, well, I'll do a song that talks about that, basically. And it's called Corporate Blues because there is a version of Even Blues that is corporatized to the point where, you know, hopefully you're going to win somebody's approval, which, you know, it's so weird. We tried dressing up in matching suits, Stetson hats and cowboy boots, bow ties and tuxedo tails, but he who don't believe it fails. I can't look tough no matter how I try. I'm not cool enough, that stuff feels like a lie. I can't deny the holes in my shoes. No, I can't give you corporate blues. If blues is a feeling, can you have too much feel? Was Elmore James a tidy package? Did he make it real? If blues is an expression, what's too much expression? My admission, being a musician's a pretty stupid profession. If you can make it count and play it really well, but it comes to naught if it's nothing nobody can sell. Is this hell, or am I too sensitive to be obtuse? I just can't give you corporate blues. I'm too old to be cute, too young to be an elder. My midlife crisis spent playing Zelda. Not enough ambition to win at Monopoly. And the blues, it seems we just can't do it properly. Is there too much soul? Is it too much heart? Is it too much jazz? Is it too much art? I can't fart in a bottle and light a fuse. No, I just can't give you corporate blues. No pyrotechnics, no dancing girls in a cage. I was told I've not enough charisma on stage. I don't lick my guitar. We don't take drugs to get high. No high leg kicks in the sky. Give us a break. We're busy fighting the war against AI. So we improvise. Or is that ADHD? Well, we probably won't win IBS. I mean IBC. Our destiny. We might never play on a cruise. And I just can't give you corporate blues. No TV morning shows will never make the news. And I just can't give you corporate blues.
You never get anywhere. career, Carl.
Exactly.
You can't get corporate. If you can't do corporate blues, mate. I mean, isn't that the dream of every musician, to be taken up by the corporate world and go from conference to conference and sing to them?
Well,
Kylie get $3 million for singing to the Fox family?
Well, that's right. But that was a very exclusive gig.
What, you weren't invited?
No, I wasn't invited. I wouldn't have gone anyway.
Well, if I was invited,
I probably had my own gig that night, you know. And that's the thing. Yeah. I had a better time.
Right.
Yeah. No, this is the problem. We are told that that's what we want, and ideally, I would love to play for shitloads of people and get all the money, and as long as they really appreciated the music. And I know there is some great music out there that is at a big scale, and it's all cool. But the difficulty is that if you don't fit if you don't tick all of the boxes, it's not going to happen.
What are the boxes?
Young, good looking, hip, doing something that's already popular so that somebody who's making money out of it will guarantee that they're making the money. It's just these things that mean it's lucky if you are in the right place at the right time. It's like the other 1%.
Yeah.
The 1% of people will get hugely famous and make squillions of dollars. And I just can't handle the fact that, sure, some of them give things to charity and whatever, but...
Tax deduction, mate.
Exactly.
You remember,
right?
It's a tax deduction.
There's tax... But that's everything.
That reminds me, the 3CR radio fund is coming in late June.
That's tax
every
deductible.
Dollar you donate.
That's right.
Is if you pay income tax, legal, legitimate tax deduction. I say to people, do what the rich and infamous do. Get a legal, legitimate tax deduction, and you don't even need an accountant.
No.
No.
Exactly.
Now, getting back to what you were saying, does that mean that your family work dynamics has kind of broken down because you've got to do more touring in order to survive financially?
Every now and then, if I can afford to take my son with me, yes. And I tour less because until he's of adult age, I want to be there. Because it might be my only chance at having a child, probably. And I love him. And being a human comes first in every capacity, you know. Yeah. So
you're not going to get anywhere.
I'm still happy.
You're not going to get anywhere, mate, with that attitude.
No, that's the thing. I don't need to get anywhere as long as I'm happy what I'm doing.
Right.
Imagine if I got big doing the one thing that I'd hate and then everyone expected that of me. The only way I was going to stay big and making the money was to continue doing the thing I'd hate. I'd rather be doing – I'd rather, you know, see if a bank would offer.
So you don't have the problem that you've got to sing the same song over and over again because that was a – you're a one-hit wonder.
No, exactly. I mean, it would. You're lucky if you like your songs, but you've got to grow. You've got to move as a musician. You've got to develop as an artist. Otherwise, you start dying.
Yeah.
You know, no one needs an early grave in the art. And that's the thing that keeps you happy and keeps you wanting to do it and keeps you in love with life because otherwise it's, you know, it's pretty tricky.
Is it tricky? I mean,
pretty challenging not having something you love, isn't it, in your life?
You're self-employed. You're
right.
A sole trader.
Yeah.
Sometimes you've got to pay for the people around you. You got a responsibility, you know, to the band. It just goes on and on.
That's right.
It's a very stressful
situation. I mean, next
week
I'm having a gig for my birthday, and instead of canapes and an open bar, because I don't have that sort of cash, but I will spend cash on getting extra musicians that I'd love to have at my birthday party to play music that I can hear, because they play the most beautiful music that I've ever heard.
So
I'm going to get those people.
I assume Kylie and Madonna are turning up.
No.
No?
No.
What am I talking to you for?
Well, because I did ask them individually and then they talked to each other and they said, who's taking the lead role in the BV Stakes?
All right.
And they had an argument and I said, look, don't worry. It's okay. Just I'll do it without
you. You and Margaret Rodenight have the same problem from different angles. I remember when Margaret was in the studio a few years ago, I made the quip that she was raking in the cash because of the hit songs she had. She said, what are you saying? I never wrote those songs. I don't get a cent in royalties.
Yeah.
Your problem is you've got a lot of songs, but you're not selling a lot of them.
No,
so you're
exactly.
not getting a cent in royalties. Yes, same problem.
I do have a side hustle, if anyone wants to talk to me about it. And for this radiothon, I will say that I will put 50% of the profit of this undertaking.
Is this side hustle legal?
What? Yeah, no, it's absolutely. I'm writing gift songs. You've just thrown down the gauntlet for the 50th. I'm happy to do that for free because I love 3CR.
Yeah. So you do give some.
But someone says, I don't know what to do with my anniversary or my blah, blah special event. I don't know what else to buy. I've got run out of gifts for this person. I can write you a song.
Yeah, well,
and actually, you just tell me everything that you want about that person that you love or your event or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you come to me and you give me a couple of weeks. I write you a song.
Well, you're right. I mean,
and you pay for it
when my
because it's my time.
When my late wife died,
yeah,
we had a musician who wrote a song.
Yeah,
wasn't paid. He just did it because So it's a very, good idea.
It's a good idea because, of course, that was a very important moment. That's right.
Yeah,
it becomes very moving and touching and personal. Yeah, you know, that's another thing AI can't give you. It's like, oh, here I type some shit into Google and here's what... That's not going to move anybody.
They're not going to cry on me. They're not going to hug me. No, they're not going to ask for money.
No.
Oh, well, they'll ask.
They'll ask for money. That's guaranteed.
Yeah. Now, Carlo, I just noticed you did something which is unforgivable in this studio.
What?
You looked at the clock.
I looked at the clock.
Yeah, because, you know, the hour's nearly gone, but that's my job, all right?
Yeah, but I'm used to being in this studio.
No, you're a guest. You're a guest.
So your pineal glands ringing at you inside your head going, I'm sure it's going to be time soon. No,
you're a guest. Look, Carlo Pannuzzo, thank you for having you here. I forgive you for coming, for your family coming from Ragusa. We do have a vendetta, the Catanians against the people from Ragusa, but that was 100 years ago.
We're better than you.
Well, that's what you think, and we let you think that.
I can make those jokes. Italy's made of that.
That's right.
The women let men think they're important
whole
time, but they're running the show. We all know it.
Yeah. Everybody's forgotten that Italy...
Did you have a secret chocolate stash or the biscuit stash that everybody knew about, but nobody admitted to?
That's right.
Until you got the call, who ate the last biscuit?
And did you have an aunt that used to leave the plastic on the sofa so you couldn't sit on it? Yes. All right. We've been given the finger by Henrietta.
Thank you
for listening.
You're a legend.
This program will be podcast by Henrietta. She's going to take a photo of Carlo Pannuzzo with his guitar.
And my scarf.
And the scarf, which will go on the podcast. Thank you, Henrietta. You've put up with a lot of shit this afternoon. Thank you. And hopefully you'll turn up next week for the guests next
Henrietta,
week.
Henrietta, you do know that you're the most important person in the studio at the moment because Joe would just be flapping in the breeze in silence.
I've always said there are show ponies and Clydesdales. I'm a show pony. Henrietta's a Clydesdale. She does the work. I get the glory. That's the way it works.
Thanks very much.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.